American researchers working in the high mountains of Turkey have uncovered what appear to be hidden tunnels similar to the descriptions of the biblical account of Noah's Ark.
Our next guest says his newly found evidence can prove that Noah's Ark did in fact exist, turning this biblical mystery into a reality. Joining us now from Turkey is one of those researchers from Noah's Ark Scans, Andrew Jones. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us and for all the good work that you're doing. This is fascinating. Tell us about your findings that could prove the real life existence of Noah's Ark.
Thank you for having me on. Yes, greetings from the mountains of Ararat, where the Bible says the ark landed. I'm about 1 mile from the Iranian border, and in this remote area, this boat formation was discovered in 1959. But our new research has shown that there are tunnels about 4 meters down and about 2 meters high, going down the center of the boat and on the inside edge of the hull shape. And so we really believe that this layout showing tunnels and also possible support beams and walls would suggest that it's a man-made object and not just a natural formation.
Yeah, many geologists disagree with that. They say, look, this is just a natural formation. But gosh, Andrew, when I look at that, it doesn't look very natural to me. What's your response to those geologists?
Yeah, so first of all, you have to explain how did an earthen formation get into the shape of a ship, and that is exactly 300 cubits long, which is the length given in the book of Genesis in the Bible. And so we have the exact length, we have the ship shape, and we're in the right location. And now we're also seeing that the soil inside is different from right outside the formation. So we have three times more organic matter found inside versus right outside. So it's a distinct object and not just part of the mountainside.
Can you take your work underground and explore some of these tunnels to get a definitive answer?
That is the next goal. And we're really hoping that the Turkish universities will be able to do that. And so that's the plan. And that's what we've suggested. And we're even wanting to help with designing a robot that can go down into these tunnels and film and take samples.
I understand that your organization is called Noah's Ark Scans, which probably answers my next question for me. But in your heart of hearts, based upon all the time and all the effort that you have put into this, do you truly believe that you have found Noah's Ark?
Yes, I do believe that this is the real decayed, buried remains of Noah's Ark, the famous ship. And we're doing our best to convince the skeptics and show the world this site.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. There's a reason why they keep bringing up this story. If you have just woken up in 2018 to 2019, you know they published this story years ago. And they keep coming back to the same Mount Ararat where this supposed ark rested. And the reason why they keep bringing this story back again and again and again, because they don't know when the Most High is going to allow Israel to start formulating a plan to expand their borders and the Antichrist coming in to that third temple. They don't know. So they have to keep regurgitating this story to make you believe that the Bible happened in the Middle East and Northern Eastern Europe. Some of it did when it came to Paul's travels, but not all of the Bible is about the Middle East and Northern Europe. If they just went to scriptures, which is what they never do. They just say, oh, it was in Genesis, or it was in this book that this event happened. They talk about this ark so much to prove the Most High's existence. At the same time, going against all of his laws, statutes, commandments. So why would you think they were going to be telling the truth about anything when it comes to the Bible when they show so proudly and boastfully that they hate the Most High Yahuwah and his son? I apologize if you hear my son in the background. I got morning shift. So going back to scripture, it says Genesis 8:4, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Not one mountain, but many mountains of Ararat. That's what it says. Now, when you go to that land and near the Caucasus region, it just says one mountain. It's one mountain, Mount Ararat. But in scripture, it says as many mountains of Mount Ararat. Jubilees 5:28, and the ark went and rested on the top of Lubar, one of the mountains of Ararat. Again, if you go to that, if you go to where they're saying that the ark rested, it's not called Lubar. It's not one of the mountains of Ararat. It is Ararat. So even through two verses, it's not correct. Jubilee 7. And in the seventh week, in the first year thereof, in this jubilee, Noah planted vines on the mountain on which the ark had rested, named Lubar, one of the Ararat mountains. And they produced fruit in the fourth year, and he did guard their fruit and gathered it in this year in the seventh month. Now, I don't know that region over there, but do you think in the summertime you could gather fruit if you plant anything in that region? Those snow-capped mountains, the snow-capped hills where the weather is, I don't know, maybe iffy. But that's something you could deep dive in if you were able to grow vines out of a mountain over there. But even if you could, it still would not be correct, because I'm going to go further. Jubilees 10, and Noah slept with his fathers and was buried on Mount Lubar in the land of Ararat. So even the entire land where these mountains are were called Ararat. Now, Ararat just means big or large. Through the maps that I've been finding, I believe that the real land of Ararat is the Atlas Mountains. Ararat and Atlas is the same definition. Giant land, big mountain. It's the same definition. It's easy for them to just change it and make some random mountain in the Caucasus Hills Mount Ararat, where you can make the same thing and change the name to what the real land of Ararat is and change it into Atlas, having the same definition. I think it's Jubilees 10. I think it's Jubilees 10. 19 and 20. It says, for they departed from the land of Ararat eastward to Shinar. For they departed from the land of Ararat eastward to Shinar. For in his days they built the city and the tower, saying, go to, let us ascend thereby into heaven. And they began to build, and in the fourth week they made brick with fire, and the brick served them for stone, and the clay with which they cemented them together was asphalt, which comes out of the sea and out of the fountains of water in the land of Shinar. Fountains. That already should tell you, if we're talking about biblical Babylon, it's not that desert in the Middle East. Where are the fountains of water coming out of that land? In modern day Saudi Arabia or modern day Iraq. He says, for they departed from the land of Ararat eastward to Shinar. If you go to where on your Apple Maps, Google Maps, whatever maps, if you look at where Mount Ararat is, or where they say it is, and if you look at where modern day Babylon, Iraq is, it's south of this mountain. It's not east. If they walked east, they would continue into Russia. So it don't even make sense biblically, scripturally, for any ark to be rested in the Caucasus Mountains. And then it's just common sense that once those animals came out of the ark, how did they all migrate together? Prey and predator alike migrated back into Africa. Makes no sense. But they have a whole X account called Noah Scans dedicated to finding Noah's Ark. And this is the stuff that gets published and pushed. People are already complaining on X that their accounts are being demonetized because they're pushing anti-Israel, anti-Semitic rhetoric, which is that they're just covering the other side of the Gazan war. They're covering the other side of Israel that doesn't get popular. And they told you this was going to happen. They told you they were going to take control of social media. They told you they weren't going to allow you to make money off your accounts going against Israel. And it's already happening. A couple of accounts that I follow, they were reposting different accounts that were going against Israel and in showing that they were being demonetized. I mean, mind you, if you're doing this for money, pushing that truth for money, and it makes you stop because you're not getting money off of it, then your whole entire awakening is weak. It truly is. If you came into this awakening or came into this truth awakening, and soon as they take a little bit of the money away from your account and you get upset about it and you want to stop or quit X altogether, then you were in it for the wrong reasons anyway. And the Most High is just exposing that. They touched your account because they know you rely on money. That's why. Other people out there touching that account don't really care. We don't. We're not doing this for money. We're doing this for the fact that we love the truth. And the Most High has said to us, fight for the truth to the day you die, and I will be a buckler for you. Not fight for the truth to the day you get demonetized, and I will fight for you. It don't work that way. But I already saw what was coming. They've been bragging about it in every AIPAC conference, every Jewish Alliance conference. They've been getting ready for this. They may even get this show, to tell you the truth. But that's all in the Most High's hands, if they're allowed to touch this show or not. And if they do, then I know it's the time that is said in Baruch that the wise shall be but few, and those who know will most of all be quiet. So that time is coming. We won't be able to say anything or speak out against anybody who is in this beast system or erecting this beast system and protecting this beast system, serving this beast system. Because if they start with Israel, you know it's going to be broader than that. The same thing they do with pedophiles. If you start with the LGBTQIA community, then you know eventually it's going to go into pedophilia. And when it goes into pedophilia, you know it's going into bestiality. And people be like, oh, no, it can't be bestiality. I can't ever see that happen. But they have zoos dedicated to zoophilia. They have pedophilia, zoophilia, where you can funny enough, in Europe, you can go into some places in a zoo and have sex with animals. You could do that. So it ain't far-fetched. If this is like supposed to be the days of Noah, that's exactly what they were doing. Why do you think all these porn sites have stepmom has sex with stepson or mother has sex with, like, it has those type of titles because it's subconsciously programming you with exactly what they did in the days of Noah. But back to what I was going with outside of the Noah's Ark. Sister Callion mentioned after I made the episode about the dust and the earth from that brother's question about the soil being punished or the soil being looked at as flesh, we talked about water, which is amazing because if you think about the flood, if you think about baptism or being immersed with water, if you think about the holy water being mingled in with the earth to be as a blessing or as a curse, if you think about the Most High said, you wash away your sins. I think saying washed in the blood is just disgusting. I think it's disgusting. I like being washed through the righteousness and the holiness of Yahuwah. I like the sense of water more than the sense of being washed in the blood. I know it's just a symbolic meaning or a metaphor, but it just sounds gross, especially when you read enough scripture when the Most High talks so much about water and cleansing and making sure you wash your hands and your feet before every offering. You don't say wash your hands and feet in the blood of the sacrifices and offerings that you give to him. So I like the idea of water being used as a tool to be very cleansing, especially when it comes to rain and rain season. And the Most High likes to wash away the wickedness of his land. And we, like I said before, we don't know what goes on beyond that veil. Maybe the Most High's thunderstorms and rain is his way of washing away certain demons and unclean ruachs from out of a land. We don't know that. I'm just taking a guess. Because I do know that these unclean ruachs, they are forever thirsty. If they're forever thirsty and forever dry, it seems to me that they can't really feel the rain or there's something with rain that they may not like. I always go back to this. I said this example before. There's a movie called Adjustment Bureau. And it's about Matt Damon They, of course, they made a little Masonic thing out of it. But Matt Damon wanted to be an ordinary senator. But there was a plan or a book that these watchers wanted him to be president of the United States. And the only way he could be president of the United States and go above and beyond was he couldn't be linked with this particular woman that he fell in love with. So they did the whole entire movie of trying to keep this man away from this woman because she brought out the satisfaction in him. If he didn't have this woman in his life, he would be forever chasing accolades, chasing newer and higher positions. So having this woman in his life, he would be okay. He wouldn't need to want to be president of the United States. So there was a scene where they say that these supposed beings couldn't hear or couldn't see what man was doing near water. He said, I think the guy that played in Captain, I forgot his name, the black guy that played Captain America or Sam, Red Wing or whatever, Falcon or whatever his name was, he was in the movie and he was Matt Damon's case officer. And he was saying that, oh, we have a problem being able to perceive man's reactions and his movements during rain or near water. If you remember in scripture, there was an angel that came by the water. I forgot what book it was. I'm just doing it off the top of my head. But I know an angel came down near water. The same thing happened to Daniel. When Daniel went to go pray near the river, an angel came down and talked to him, if I'm not mistaken. So in order for Matt to be with this woman, he needed help from a guy who felt, from the angel or whatever you want to call him, felt pity for him. So he was going to help Matt Damon get this woman to break up her wedding to another guy that these angels or these case officers set up in order for Matt Damon to get away from this woman to be president. So they struggled with being near water. Now they have to get this from somewhere. They don't just make these things up. They get it from somewhere, especially when you know it's heavily involved with scripture. They get it from somewhere. So maybe the Most High's reign in his land was a way to wash away repeatedly the unclean ruachs that dwell there. They think, okay, we're going to sit right here until the nation of Yasharel comes back. And then we're going to manifest again in their ruach for them to change over and worship other gods. Because you know that's what brings idolatry, wickedness, rebellion, is unclean ruachs. They're attached to the flesh. And that's how you serve Satan, is through your flesh. So you're trying to say that there was no unclean ruachs at the time of Yasharel's disobedience, that by serving other idols and bringing strangers into the land to serve other idols, that these unclean ruachs that attached themselves to Yasharel and strangers that dwelled amongst them? So when they were sent into captivity, you think the unclean ruachs were like, okay, let's go into captivity with them? Or did they stay behind in the land? It's like, okay, we just dwell here until they come back. And the Most High say, nope, I'm gonna wash away all this land to clean it, and then I'm gonna bring you back where no unclean ruach is going to be. I'm just taking a guess, but it makes sense to me. So going into that, there's a verse in Zechariah 14, 7 through 9. It says, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahuwah, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Yahuwah shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahuwah, and his name one. Now going back to verse 8, it says, And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea. Now, if you look this up in Strong's, it just says the EC. Multiple translations, King James or whatever, says the east of East Sea. So if you look at the fake land, there is no sea on the east. That Dead Sea, if you look that up, it just says it's a lake. I don't know why we let these people get away with it. The Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea are lakes. They're not sea. Let's be real. There's a Dead Sea in Canada, or named the Dead Sea in Canada, and they call that a lake. So why do we let these people change the definitions of what a body of water actually is compared to what a sea actually is, and let them get away with it, not ever contested, and be dumbfounded with it, and just keep saying that that is the real land over there? And then, especially when you know the truth of the matter and you still don't make any content exposing the fact that it don't make sense either. The Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea are lakes. Let's keep that real. It's a lake. So when he's talking about the former sea, it's an actual sea, not a lake. And the hinder, toward the hinder sea, which means it has to be a sea, what, behind Yerushalayim, on the west side. The former, the hinder. If I'm standing facing north, and I'm standing Yerushalayim facing north, the former sea is to the east, the hinder sea is to the west. Those are real seas. The Indian Ocean and the Pacific and the Atlantic, those are real seas. So the land is in the Southern Hemisphere for the umpteenth time. I keep saying it. And when I was talking about like the water being washed away because of the idolatry, which is, like I said, the Most High really, 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 really hates idol worship. Really hates idol worship. And yet the minds of so many religious zealots think that making Mary the Queen of Heaven, this white Jesus with the cross, being crucified, all these saints that the Roman Catholic Church puts on their shoulders during Holy Week and these little festivals that they do. And then, of course, Christians, you know, can't wait to stand in front of the cross of this white Jesus in wood, gold, stone, iron, clay. It don't matter what material, that the Most High is appeased by this. They believe that the Most High is appeased by these idols, these images. Not even of his son, but just another sun god, basically. And people believe that he's appeased by this, which is weird to me, especially if you read Yirmiyahu 43:10-13, and say unto them, thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, the Elohai of Yisrael, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, my servant, and I will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he comes, he shall smite the land of Mizraim and deliver such as are for death to death, and such are for captivity to captivity, and such are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the Elohai of Mizraim, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. And he shall array himself in the land of Mizraim as a shepherd puts on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Bet Shemesh that is in the land of Mizraim, and the houses of the Elohai of the Mizraim shall he burn with fire. Now, Bet Shemesh is a Hebrew word. Now, mind you, during a little bit before the Babylonian captivity, the Most High warned the descendants of Yehuda, the remnant, those who didn't go into Babylon, that they do not transgress this commandment of serving Nebuchadnezzar for a time period. He told them this: do not go into Egypt, Mizraim. If you go there, I'm going to send the famine, the plague, the sword right after you. This is what he told Yirmiyahu to say to the remnant. And what do you think we did in our stiff-neckedness? We went into Egypt. So going into Egypt, we wanted to worship our own sun god in the midst of those heathens doing their own sun god and day of the dead and day of the living gods that they have in Egypt. So he said, if you go there, I'm going to send Nebuchadnezzar up into Egypt to follow right after that destruction, because I told you to go to Babylon in captivity to serve him, and then I will bring you out in peace. You're going to be there for a season, 70 generations you're going to be there. He said, build houses and live in them, plant vineyards and drink the wine of them. You're going to be there for a while. And this is because they didn't want to do any of the Shabbats in Yerushalayim. So the Most High said, okay, for 70 generations, the number seven meaning the day of a Shabbat, the day of rest, he's allowing the land to rest from the wickedness that the children of Yasharel were doing. It's going to rest from unrighteousness and idolatry. And again, that's also to cleanse the land of any unclean ruach staying behind, because they can only be attracted or attached to wickedness or idolatry or sin. So what are they going to sit around in the land that's desolate for 70 generations for? They're going to find somebody else to attach themselves to. Bet Shemesh, the house of the sun, is the name of three places in the land of Israel and one location in ancient Egypt, mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, as a city in the southwest of Yehuda remains excavated next to modern Bet Shemesh. See Tel Bet Shemesh, a city in northern Israel allocated to the tribe of Naphtali. Now, this is what Wikipedia says. It says there's a Bet Shemesh in the land of Israel today, which makes no sense, because why would you imitate a city or an image of idolatry in the Holy Land? Why would you think the Most High would be okay with allowing another nation to come into his Holy Land after he has sent his children out of that land in a quick and a hurry into captivity because they kept worshiping other idols? And then here you think these people are in the real land when they erected an entire city called Bet Shemesh, House of the Sun, which is Israel at that time, Yasharel, worshiping a sun god. So they want to go into Egypt where they also worship sun gods or have a sun god. Like I said, if you go to like the Google Maps of it, it says Bet Shemesh is a city located approximately 30 kilometers west of Yerushalayim in Israel's Jerusalem district, a center of Haredi Judaism and modern Orthodoxy. Obviously, they sit there nodding themselves, prostrating themselves, humping themselves in front of this wall and reading the Torah, yet they have not read the real scriptures all in all. And I mentioned this before when I had a rabbi or a mohel, whatever they call them, to circumcise my son. And he asked about what did I follow? And I said, oh, we are the children of Yasharel through Deuteronomy and Genesis 15, 13. He had no idea what I was talking about. He said, oh, we don't read it like that. We read it in portions. So you're trying to tell me you read the first books of Moses, Moshe, and you don't read it like straight out. You read portions of it and then you skip to another portion of it without actually connecting the dots, and you don't read the other parts of scripture in these books. Seems like it's almost like a slave Bible to me if you only read in portions. So how can this religion be smart and not be controlled by Satan or controlled by other entities? Same thing with Christianity. They only read but the New Testament. They only read certain part of books, portions of books, really portions of Paul's words. And they made a religion out of that. I mean, Islam is just whatever. They just nitpicking of whatever anybody else is doing and putting Israel in it and putting Yahusha in it and then creating their own doctrine. But most of their doctrine is based on the ordering of the church when it came to women. And that's why Islam is so harsh on women, is because of Paul's words and those small passages about the women not being able to speak, not being able to preach. They went above and beyond with that. When it says the women should be covered up, it's a disgrace if a woman is uncovered during they took that to another level. But this is everybody's nitpicking and taking portions out of scripture, and no one's reading it in its complete form. So when people ask me like, oh, what do you think about messianic churches or the messianic religion or going into a community? For what? Really, for what? What are you going to learn from a church that's set up in a tax bracket to receive benefits if they teach or if they have pastors or teachers in that church that came from out of one of these seminaries? How much of the meat of the truth are you actually going to digest? You'll be forever hungry. You'll be famished, parched. You will never be filled. That's why they keep you going in there from Sunday to Wednesday to next Sunday. That's why they keep you, they breaking down services that you go through all, the entire week, because they know they can't fill you up. That's why they do it. And most of these churches and most of these communities. That's why they have all these little weird festivals and community outings, these little concerts that they're doing. They have to do that to keep you filled. And the more and more you search to be filled by a community, the more you get into the world. You should be searching these scriptures in its entirety. And I'm talking about in the entirety by yourself. And then the Most High will bring in a community for you to help you and grow you and learn you and sharpen you as iron is sharpened. So you can truly benefit the meat of the gospel. It's for those of you who understand like weed and marijuana and the stuff that you were addicted to, y'all wouldn't smoke bush weed, would you? With a whole bunch of sticks and stems? You wouldn't smoke dry weed, would you? No. You know what good product smokes like, I should say. So if you really want the real truth of the gospel, you should do it yourself. Grow it yourself. And stop relying on other people to teach you the gospel or search it out for you. You should search it out for yourself. Now, Yirmiyahu 44:2-5 says, thus says Yehuah Yisrael, the Elohai of Yisrael, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Yerushalayim and upon all the cities of Yehuda. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwells therein, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other Elohim, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. Setting up images. It doesn't matter if it's sun worship, Yahuwah worship, or Yahusha worship. He does not like it. And some of you Israelites who are into making these, you even floating carefully with making some of these images or AI renditions of Yahusha or Yahuwah or whatever. Like, I don't, even that is a little iffy. Because if the Most High said, do not make any graven image of anything is in heaven or anything is in the earth or anything is in the sea, don't do it or to worship it. I think we are somewhat playing with fire when we make too much AI renditions of scripture, especially when we don't even know what the prophets and none of the people look like. Like, obviously it's good for us to see our own image and our own likeness in these stories. But if the Most High wanted us to dwell on the fact that these Israelites, the Yisrael, were of brown complexion, he would have allowed us to have the book and concealed a book that had all the pictures of the prophets and all the illustrations that they had, must have had during the time of the Maccabean revolt, where the heathen, the Grecians, saw that they had this book, this Sefer, and opened it up and see in the Torah that we actually had pictures of each other. I think the Most High wanted it destroyed. I think he wanted it that way, because he knew exactly what this nation would do. That this, he would allow this nation to make the images and likeness of themselves to forward the curse that we weren't who we say we were. So only through the Ruach, and not by image, only through the Ruach did the Most High call us back to who we were. This is how we figured out, like, oh, okay, Yisrael is of a brown complexion through the awakening. Now, mind you, we must have had some examples or, you know, been awakened a little bit to the truth that we knew that the Messiah was not Grecian, that he wasn't white. We've seen it in our movies that they throw jabs at us like, oh, he was a black man. He sprinkled us with that truth. But we came into the full knowledge when we started being awakened. And I think he wanted us to be awakened through his Ruach and not by an image. And if you understand why he hated images so much, this is why. Because he knew that we would be led astray through image. Why do you think Satan wanted Moshe's body so bad? You think Moshe wanted, I mean, Satan wanted Moshe's body just to what, to go dance with it? No. He knew that before Yahusha, everybody listened to Moshe. And it was a time when Yahusha was around. They didn't even want to listen to Yahusha because of Moshe. So they didn't know what to call this man who says he's the son of Yahuwah. Moshe was still fresh in their minds. It was still all about Moshe and the books that he gave the children of Yasharel. That's what they knew the law was at the time, was just whatever Moshe said. So the reason why Satan wanted Moshe's body so bad is because he was going to make him an image. And he was going to desperately try to lead astray the children of Yasharel into damnation just off of one body. He knew he could do it off one body. Now we got into the modern era. This is why Satan doesn't need Moshe's body. He got plenty of Negroes now. He got plenty of Shemites. He has a plenty of Israelites, awakened and non-awakened, dancing to his tune, being an image for him. That's where you get these little Hebrew Israelite camps, these One West camps, dancing for Satan to lead astray the children of Yasharel once again. This is why he truly wanted Moshe's body. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their heart ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other Elohim. Yirmiyahu 44:6-9. Wherefore my fury and my anger were poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore now thus says Yahuwah, the Elohai of Sabaoth, the Elohai of Yasharel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Yehuda, to leave you none to remain, and that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other Elohim in the land of Mizraim, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Yehuda, and the wickedness of their women, and their own wickedness, the wickedness of your women, which they have committed in the land of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem? And the time in the streets of Jerusalem, the women were pouring out drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven. Now, Semiramis is known as the Queen of Heaven. Isis is known as the Queen of Heaven. Modern day Mary, Mother of God, is the Queen of Heaven. But it all comes from the worship of Semiramis. This is what we were doing. So it's wild to me that if the Most High could not stand this type of worship, why do we keep implementing this particular type of worship in these religions today? Why do you think we do this? Because it's that righteousness of the flesh that Satan has tapped on us to say, okay, just do this, make a show of it, make it for content, and you would be allowed in the kingdom of heaven. When everything in scripture goes against this particular type of worship, vanity, or what they call it in scripture multiple times. But also the good side of that is that they do understand if they're doing drink offerings, sending smoke offerings, meat offerings to other gods and going worshiping other gods, they understand where that worship comes from. The Most High Yahuwah is the foundation of when we started doing offerings. When Cain and Abel wanted to please the Most, well, I go back to the first couple. When Adam wanted to please the Most High Yahuwah, when he was doing things good, he was setting aside the fruit that he was picking for an offering to Yahuwah. When he was thrown out of paradise, he wanted to do a peace offering, and he was burning incense. He was still offering. The foundation of offerings and burning incense comes from the very first couple and the very first children. And then we learn how to give righteously, and we learn how to give wickedly through Cain's offering. We know what will be accepted and will not, what will not be accepted. Now you move these generations forward into Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and the children of Yisrael. It's still the foundation. So why do we stop doing this? I keep saying this. I don't see anybody truly talking about, okay, this is what we're doing for offering. People keep talking about the same things and get mad at other people who are talking about something else, which is funny to me, but no one's talking about the real land, especially when you know the information of where the real land is. No one's talking about how can we do these offerings better? Where can we get a specific wood? Where, what rock quarry or what store, landscaping store is good for certain stones? No one's exchanging this information. And I understand that time is moving so fast. Like, I get it. Like, even waking up in the morning is like, dang, it's 8 o'clock already. Like, I'm usually out of the bed like around 6:37. But even I feel like time is moving so fast. Like, by the time you get something done, it's almost the half of the day is almost gone. So I can only imagine when y'all have to go to work and have these 9-to-5s. By the time you get home, you just want to rest. Rest. And by the time you even get to thinking about giving an offering, this damn near 11 o'clock or midnight. I get it. Truly, I get it. But this is why you need to start formulating a second calendar for yourself, or maybe manage the alerts in your phone. You have to go that extra mile, especially for Yahuwah, to go that extra mile to separate yourselves from the tediousness of this world and step into that spiritual world and see what he can do for you to lighten your load. If he sees that you have a heart for doing this, he will lighten your load. If you do not give any offering to him, either burning incense or drink offerings or meat offerings or sending smoke offerings, he's just going to allow you to keep working in this world, because obviously you enjoy working for this world and getting nothing out of it. You will take nothing into the grave from this world. Absolutely nothing. I don't care how good you are at your job. When they put dirt on top of your body, you won't take any of your accolades with you. Not one. And when you stand before the Most High Yahuwah in judgment, no one, none of your coworkers, none of your former bosses, no one will stand next to you and say how good of a worker you are or were. No one will do that. No one's going to stand in for you. I'm not saying go to work and blow off your shift and do whatever. I'm just simply saying put it in perspective. Do you truly believe the work that you are doing for this world is ever going to be a benefit for you if you're trying to go into the kingdom? When we're into the kingdom, the Most High is not going to need carpenters. When we go into the kingdom, the Most High is not going to need CPAs. When we go into the kingdom, the Most High is not going to need judges, lawyers, secretaries. He's not going to need fast food workers when we go into the kingdom. You get what I'm saying? Sirach 35:16, he that serves Yahuwah shall be accepted with favor, and his prayer shall reach unto the clouds. He that serves Yahuwah shall be accepted with favor. You trying to tell me you do not want any of that favor? You're not trying to serve and worship? You're not trying to attain favor? But are you serving this world in order to attain their favor? And you might not even get it. And if you get it, it won't be for a long period of time. The type of favor that the Most High Yahuwah has is an everlasting favor. That comes with mercy. It comes with long suffering. It comes with grace. It comes with blessings. And to be fair for you, you don't even have to leave your house for favor. I don't go outside and get in my car and go 15, 20 miles for favor. I'm not in the hot heat for this favor. I ain't got to put on Ugg boots, 3 pairs of coats, and trot out in the snow for favor. His favor is in the secret of secret places, which is your household. That's where the favor is. Now, mind you, if you get into these scriptures and you get into this calendar, you get into these ordinances, like such as new moons, all this is done in your house. All of it. I mean, there's going to come a day where Yisrael will be a community again, and we would go to a specific place we'll be giving offerings and drink offerings. But for right now, we're learning how to do this in our own house. Our houses are the houses of Yahuwah at this point. And we don't have to leave anywhere or do anything for this favor that's outside of our flesh, that's outside of our capability. He does not call us to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go all the way to 5 o'clock p.m. and say, okay, this is what you have to do to attain this favor. We don't got to CC nobody in an email. We don't have HR for this favor. We need to start truly thinking about what we're doing this for. If we're doing it for money, if we're doing it for content, because it's now run its course, that we are solidified in the content that we make, and we're getting a little following, we're getting a little money through Patreon, and we're getting little donations and Cash App. Like, what are we doing this for? What's going to happen to this world is going to happen anyway, regardless. It's already been mapped out what's going to happen. I said this before in this analogy. It's like a game. Like, we already seen the game that's being called. The game is rigged already. Right now, we're just listening to color commentary. Like, you don't know, like, you don't think that little incident with the White House correspondence dinner wasn't a little ritual, a little psyop? The Most High is not going to allow any of the men that he set up in these nations to be touched before their time. I know that part. So all this fake assassinations of fake attacks on Trump is just, it's to program you with what could happen. Isn't the beast supposed to take a massive head wound? So it's supposed to look like everybody's out for politicians. Your politicians or your presidents are easily attacked. That's also forwarding the mind control that the beast is going to come back from this head wound. We don't know what the beast is. We don't know who the Antichrist is yet, but this beast is supposed to have this head wound and it's supposed to come back, and everybody's supposed to marvel and wonder at the fact that he came back. So he is going to set up the fact that he's been attacked. And it's some random man too, Cole Thomas Allen. And they said he got an award for being a teacher out in California. And I ran the numbers. Numbers didn't make much sense. There was nothing that stood out to me. His birthday was on 4/11/1995, which is funny. He's like 15 days away from his death. I mean, 15 days away from his birthday. And the fact that it happened on the 115th day of this month, and maybe that could add, that maybe that added into it of why they picked him. But today is April 26th. It's the 116th day of the year. You flip that upside down, it's 9/11. So now they're going to talk about this attack on the president on a day that is inverted to be 9/11. I mean, that's how I see it. The funniest thing is also this NFL draft that's happening. I didn't even know the draft was starting to get that big. I truly didn't. The draft is almost like a concert now. It ain't just the commissioner getting up there reading cards, and you see the teams all, you know, with their respective team helmets on the table, and, you know, they pick up a phone call and like, yo, this is what we want, and you see the guy come out, and that was it. Now it turned into a whole concert venue. A whole concert, and next year it's going to be in D.C., so you can just imagine the rituals that's going to pour out of that. But there have been a ritual that people are not understanding. There has been in the last 3 years, since, I want to say 2024, there has been a player, whether it be a player going into the draft or just an NFL player, there has been a player every year since 2024. It's probably been more than that if I go back. But it's been the same player and the same type of jersey, the same type of colors that have been sacrificed leading up to the draft. But the first player was, I think, his name was A.J. Simon. And the second player was Kyron Lacy. And after Kyron Lacey was Doug Martin. And if, funny enough, there's already been a Doug Martin that was kind of sacrificed in October. So two Doug Martins, 6 months apart from each other, dying. This guy played, this one that led up to the draft, he was a Minnesota Vikings player. So you take Kyron Lacey, you take A.J. Simon, Kyron Lacey, and Doug Martin, all play with teams that colors were purple and gold. Purple in numerology is 444, which means Masonic, Lucifer. 444 also means Jesus. So there you go. And then you see the glamorizing of Christianity right now. And I don't even know if they're doing it on purpose, or these kids know they're doing it on purpose, or being told to show their faith. I don't know. I don't know. I think they're just, most of these young kids who are trying to be stars, they're seeing the popularity of religion. And so now everybody's coming out with their Jesus quotes, Bible quotes, saying that they worship the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think it started with the National Football League. When it came playoff time, all these undercover Freemasons started saying, oh, I just want to thank my Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And they made it a thing. And the more they said it, the more the younger college kids saw it. And when the college kids saw it, the high school players see it. So now everybody's into this, oh, Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's a reason for that. It truly is. They have to prepare you for the Luciferian movement. So in order for the big entrapment is to get all these souls bottlenecked into Christianity. So when they close the cap on it, they're not going to say you can't go nowhere but to Luciferianism. Because if you read Albert Pike's Three World War letter in 1871, he talks about how people who are disillusioned with Christianity will accept the Luciferian doctrine. And he said through a social cataclysm, which means after the Zionist versus Islamic war, that they're going to go after Christianity. They're going to prove to you that there is no God. Now, mind you, Albert Pike don't run nothing. What he's seen or what he've known through whatever entity that he worshiped, he knew that this was the plan all along, that the Most High is going to bring upon the world famine, the sword, and destruction. The same famine, the same pestilence, the same sword that he sent after us multiple times in scripture. Now it's going to happen upon the entire world. So they know this is coming. So they know that the Most High is going to show them and prove to them that religion has never mattered. So you might as well accept the one world religion, the Luciferian religion. We might as well get together as in the days of Nimrod to go at the Most High Yahuwah. This is why they gave you Marvel Avengers Endgame. Thanos is supposed to play the Most High. If you listen to Thanos' speeches, it sounds exactly what the Most High would say. How he would remove half of every, well, it says in scripture, I will remove 2/3 out of every nation. 2/3 of a nation I will remove, but the 1/3 I will bring them and try them as gold is tried. That's in Zechariah or Zechariahu. So when you hear the speeches of Thanos and you're not on the side of the Avengers and you actually listen to it objectively, it sounds like the Most High Yahuwah. It does. Even his speech in Endgame. He said, at the end of the day, I'm inevitable. Like, you can do whatever you want. You could say that you can clone. You could say that you can time jump. You could say that, you know, all these other stuff you say that you think you can do. At the end of the day, you bring your nonsense, your foolishness, your high-mindedness, your pride right back to me. It comes back to me. At the end of the day, it comes back to me. Regardless if you think there's an alternate universe out there for you, or you're in multiple planets that you can go to the moon, you can go to Saturn, you can go to and find all these planets and so forth, you're coming right back to me. All the lies you inherited or your father's inherited, you're going to see that it all comes back down to me, the truth. So that's why they selling everybody on this whole Christianity is actually a thing in this generation. They had the Donald Trump reading from 2 Chronicles 7:11 through 22. And you know how much Freemasons love the whole Hiram Abiff and King Solomon story of building the temple. Their entire foundation of their religion is based on Solomon's temple, or the Most High's temple, building the temple with Hiram Abiff. They made rituals on top of rituals about Hiram-Biff and King Solomon. So it's no reason why he wouldn't read any other scriptures besides the one that they told him to read. And if you look at the numerology of it, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 11 and 22. 11 and 22 together is 33. The 7 and 11 also goes to the whole numeric timeline and narrative of constantly seeing the inversion of 9/11. It could look like 116. It could look like 611. It could look like 119. It's the same thing as 9/11. It just inverted multiple ways. But that's their telltale sign that they're getting ready to ramp up a second 9/11. Now, if it gets exposed, it goes away for a while. I've seen that happen. I've seen the numbers add together, and they don't, like I said before, they don't know when it's time to push. They keep pushing until they can actually unlock those doors when the Most High says, okay, now I want destruction. Now I want you to build your plan or build your Tower of Babel, metaphorically. Now I'm going to let you do it. Why do you think they keep pushing these wars of the unrest in the Middle East? It's not because they want to keep doing it. It's because they don't know when they're going to get the green light to continue with their plan. This is why most of these stories and most of these wars keep repeating themselves. That's why we keep going back into the same region over and over again. Because man does not know when the Most High is going to react. So all they know is, we know that this is going to be a region where something has to happen. So we might as well start programming people with this, with these wars, with this doctrine, and hopefully by the time we get to years and years and years ahead, we'll know exactly when we're allowed to do something. Mind you, they're 7 or 8 years behind what they said they were going to do. Remember that that general who said he got a memo and said they were going to go after 7 countries, which was Somalia, Iraq, Sudan, Iran. All these countries that's in the Middle East of exactly where the territory of where Israel is trying to expand. He said, we're going after these 7 countries in 7 years. And this was like in 2002, I think he made this interview. So they're way behind schedule. Remember the movie Soylent Green? It was set in 2022. Now, mind you, it's becoming harder and harder to pay for food now. I mean, the cost of food has gone up expeditiously, but that's 2026. So they're 4 to 5 years behind that, where they were predicting. Even with, if you remember the movie Running Man, and it said during 2000 something that people won't enjoy regular program TV anymore. That they're going to want to see bloodshed. We're still a little bit behind that because they had given us Squid Games, but that's just a TV show. And of course they did the real Squid Games, but ain't nobody dying yet. So it'll be a time where people are going to die in some of these video games. I mean, in some of these game shows, maybe. And you're already seeing robots come into the athletic field now. Now they're running marathons, which is, at what point are you trying to prove? A robot that doesn't rest, doesn't need to breathe, muscles don't tire out. What would be the point of running this machine on a marathon? But they're doing it. They're getting ready to put robots into sports. If you remember the movie Real Steel with Hugh Jackman, where robots were boxing, being controlled by man. Obviously, if you have AI, you don't need to have man as a controller anymore. But this is them setting you up. If you remember the old school NFL Fox promos, where I don't know if they still do it anymore, but before the football games on Fox, what did you see? You see that little iron football robot man, and it was showing you robots playing football. And I don't know if they're going to get that extreme with it, because obviously it's a lot of moving parts that have to do with, you know, trying to get these robots to run, let alone throw, block, and tackle. I mean it's going to take some years, but the point is they tried to brainwash you with the possibility that this could happen. Like I said, man, it's all pretty much running its course. All of it's running its course. Everything they said was going to happen in scripture is eventually happening. It is. But the only thing that's going to save you from being touched, truly being touched by this world, is if you are getting favor from the Most High by serving him. and serving him the way he has called us to serve him. Not the way we have served these other nations, not the way we have served the gods before him. We were in our spiritual darkness. This is a completely whole new thing. And I wish people who are making content are coming back to these ordinances and these statutes. So I think that's more important than talking about politics, economic crisis, and all the other stuff that people talk about to hook people into the truth. I haven't seen enough content on how we should please the Most High Yahuwah. I haven't. Everybody's breaking down scripture to the one, to the two, to the third power of breaking down scripture, but we're not getting back to the whole reason why he instituted these offerings on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, on a biblical feast day basis, why he kept bringing these ordinances into everything he does, because he craves worship, craves it. If he didn't want us to worship him the way he wanted to worship him, honestly, we wouldn't have half of the Torah. We really wouldn't. We wouldn't have half of it. And he wouldn't be so upset when he says that we have robbed him from tithes and offerings. It's wild to me that all of a sudden now we come into this truth. We don't want to get into offering. When we would go to church every Sunday and our parents gave us a quarter, 50 cent or a dollar. And then when we got money of our own, we started putting money in the collection plate. And all of a sudden we come into the truth. Now we don't learn that we don't have to put money in the collection plate. We can actually go to a grocery store, buy a respectable meat or a respectable wine, pour it out in the grass or pour it on an altar and let that be that. And it works the same exact way, except we are getting paid in treasure and favor from heaven instead of giving him debt fiat currency that's de-dollarizing itself to the fact that our money won't mean nothing. So what are y'all going to do when y'all go to church? You're going to give CBDC? You're going to give a digital currency? What the Most High going to do with a Wi-Fi currency? Seriously, what are you going to do with a Wi-Fi currency? That's why these churches talking crazy about giving $20,000, putting up their house for the church. Wild accusations. Sowing a seed. You got to sow a $20,000 seed to get blessed. Bro, who does that? Who goes broke trying to sow favor to the Most High Yahuwah? And yet people in their mind think, okay, I won't give $20,000, but I'll at least give I'll give $800. I'll give $1,000. I'll give $2,000. Man, and people still show up at these churches. People still believe that they know the scripture more than anybody else that knows it when they give the most money. Sowing a seed. It is the craziest terminology for giving money to a 501c3 is sowing a seed. Sowing a seed based on debt fiat currency. It don't even make sense. You can't even make it make sense. But I hope y'all get into more of offerings and actually worshiping and praising the Most High Yahuwah, as he had instructed us to worship and praise him.